broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I just decided to wear my headscarf and show up at work. Here I am at work starting
well,
to...
Well, I think another site would be a better idea.
Constitution gives us freedom of religion.
The female child is 13 months old. The child was crying.
Bill O'Reilly
is a closet homosexual. World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And good evening. And welcome to our show here, the only show where news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and we take this thing to some pretty bizarre places through the looking glass and beyond for what we like to think of as the truth. Coming up, where are the Ground Zero Moss developers getting the money for the project? Where? Well, some say in some pretty interesting places. We're going to talk about that. Bob Green joins us from Fraser Foods. He is also one of the co-chairs of the American Business and Political Council that is looking at ways of moving the national discussion past the so-called Ground Zero Mosque. And to that end, by the way, AP has instructed its editors, not to use the term Ground Zero Mosque anymore, the Associated Press. Also coming up, the story of a deaf shoplifter, they're grabbed by security, and the guy was stealing, and security grabbed him, and they choked him, and he passed out, and now he's going to sue. Bobby Dooley also joining us this hour, and Bud's Nightly News coming up tonight. 877-876-PHIL. Our affiliate spotlight tonight in Memphis, KWAM 990 AM, and in Tallahassee, Alabama, WTLS 1300 AM. Two great stations on the Phil Hendry Radio Network. If you go over to our website, philhendryshow.com, you can get a backstage pass and watch the show as well as listen to the show on our videocast right now. You can also access the archives of our show, which go back years and years and years. Many of them downloads. And every day we're making new downloads, kind of like, you know, that potato chip company. You know, go ahead, we'll make more.
Yeah.
Well, we make more downloads. So head over to philhendryshow.com and check that out. Also, please go over to philhendryshow.com if you're backstage pass holders and sign in for tonight's shout-out in the last hour. We're going to be shouting out to people and also vote on which downloadable podcast you would like to see as the next one. So our next iTunes Classic Phil podcast, what should it be? Go over there and vote right now. Man falls 25 feet from ride line at Disney Park. This is always a story. First, it seems like every summer someone's falling from something, and many times they're falling from something at Disneyland. Now, this man's okay. This man is a young man who was standing in line waiting for the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror ride when he was joking with his friends about where it was they were standing. They were on an elevated platform of some kind. It was kind of going up a couple of stories to get to the ride. And he slipped, and he fell, and he was treated, and he was released from the University of California Irvine Medical Center. Apparently, this boy, though, was standing there and joking with his friends about falling. It's summertime, and people are, you know, falling off of rides. But I got to tell you something. Every time something like this happens, you remember all of the things that have happened that are so deadly, and you remember the things that have happened that have actually killed people. Bobby Dooley is with us. She is the president of the Western States Homeowners Association and the parent-teacher organization. Bobby, your kids don't do this, do they?
No, Phil. Knock wood, we don't have kids that, you know, our kids enjoy Disneyland. They enjoy the amusement parks. Everyone who has a young person knows the delight that every family has this time of year, traveling and visiting these amusements. But we did discover something that I was talking to Jason about before the program at Disneyland, and something that we, it's a positive, and I think it reflects well on young people.
Okay.
The roller coaster at Disneyland is called the California Screamin'.
Now, that's in the California Adventure Park.
Yes, it's the new park that they built. That's California Amusement. And when I read this story about this young man falling from that platform over at Tower of Terror, I said to my husband, Steve, I said, you know, there's an awful lot going on in this world, and not every young person is irresponsible. And he got out these photographs that Seth had taken at Disneyland this year, and a couple of them toward the end of the school year. At the very end of the California Screamin' roller coaster is a camera. And the camera goes off as you are rounding the turn and you are ready to stop. I don't know if you've seen that film.
Yeah. It's a camera that'll go off and it takes a picture of people in this state of excitement and exuberance and in some instances fear, right?
Yes, it captures the emotional, state of the people in the photograph.
Yeah, and they have one on Splash. They have them in a lot of rides and a lot of parks. One on Splash Mountain where they take your picture, and the Twilight Zone ride too.
Exactly, and of course everyone is has their hands up in the air. Their faces are registering shock, and it's a lot of fun for people who want to save those kinds of photographs. The pictures that Steve brought out, though, he said, "Look at these." And he said, I've been saving these, and I didn't quite know when to show them to you. And I'm thinking, oh, God. You know, Phil?
Oh, yeah. You thought, okay, some kind of problem.
Yes. What has he done now? What have these kids done now? He said, no, it's not like that. And I looked at the photograph, and it was a picture of Seth on the California Screamin' ride. Every other person in that cart is screaming, and they're laughing, and their hands are up in the air, or they're holding on to someone, or they're holding on to the safety bar. But my son has a completely placid look on his face. He looks almost as if he is completely relaxed. He has his sweatshirt hood pulled up, and he has a completely blank expression. When he got home, I said to him, honey, where did you get this? And he told me, and he said, Mom, I'm able to do that. I'm able to just be calm, even on a roller coaster. And I said, my God. And Steve and I looked at each other, and Steve said, you know, my husband said to me, I didn't know whether I should show you this, but this was, you know, Steve was very, very impressed by it, too. So we put a call into Henry Waxman's office. He's our congressman here.
All right, just so I know, these are photographs of your son, Seth, all of them on the California Screamin'?
No, one of them is on the Splash Mountain. One was taken, I think, at Twilight Zone Tower Terror. I think another one was taken on the Cyclone at Knott's Berry Farm.
And these are all thrill rides, and everybody's picture is taken at the end of these thrill rides, and everyone's looking excited except for him.
Except for him. He said, Mom, I'm able to just put my emotions, I'm able to just completely chill out, is the way he puts it, but completely flatten my emotions. And I looked at Steve, and he looked at me, and we were just flabbergasted. So I put a call in to Henry Waxman, who's our congressman.
Well, have you not seen, it seems to me I've seen pictures approaching that. You know?
No, not like this. No, you haven't. No.
A lot of times, Sandra, you'll see people try to look at it, but their eyebrows, you know, or they're squinching their eyes or something.
Not like this. A lot of people try it, but my son, Seth, looked absolutely calm in this photograph taken at the end of the roller coaster ride.
Now I know we have pictures I don't know. We took a picture of Jurassic, you know, the Jurassic Park ride at Universal.
No, and this is much more hair-raising than the Jurassic Park ride.
No, I know that. The roller coaster, obviously. And they have photographs. We have got photographs of the kids at Splash Mountain. We've got photographs. Everybody's kind of screaming and yelling. Some people are laughing. But you're saying that your son completely is blank.
A blank expression.
All right, hold on. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking about Bobby Dooley's son, Seth, who had his photograph taken at the end of a roller coaster where they do take your picture, and everybody else looks excited, and he looks completely calm.
He almost looks bored. And I said to him, were you bored? And he said, and he looked at me, and he looked at his father, and sort of you could see the wheels turning. do I tell them the truth, or do I lie so that they will think I'm a normal kid? And he decided to tell us the truth. He said, you know what? Yes, I was bored to death on that roller coaster. Well, a lot of mothers might think, oh, my God, you know, what's wrong with my son? I put a call into Henry Waxman's office, who's our congressman here in the Valley, and I asked to speak to him. He wasn't in. And I said to the young woman answering the phone, I said, I want the congressman to write a letter of recommendation for my son to get into the Marine Corps base at Quantico for a recommendation.
Yeah, we want our son to be in a Marine Corps base.
To get into the Marine Corps base?
Well, that's where they teach them.
Well, I'm going to be an officer.
Officer training?
Absolutely, yes, at the Marine Corps base. And I'll tell you why, Phil.
Is your son interested in being a Marine?
Oh, yeah, he was. He did not want to go through the boot camp that they have at Camp... Camp Pendleton. But he very desperately wanted to be a Marine. And I looked at these photographs of him being able to endure this roller coaster ride without so much as a flash of emotion. Isn't that interesting, Phil?
Yeah, we didn't film it, Jerry. He's got ice water in his face.
Exactly. He has that.
Well, all right, so based upon this photograph of your son on this roller coaster, not showing emotion, you want Henry Waxman to write him a letter of recommendation for the Marine Corps Academy? I didn't know that there is a Marine Corps Academy in Quantico. I know that there's a base or something.
Well, it's got to have a Marine Corps Academy.
And of course, Phil, you know,
Let me ask you something. Do you think, even as cool, calm, and collected as a kid can be on a roller coaster, do you think that that is enough of a recommendation for a congressman to recommend him to any of our military academies?
You know what I do, Phil, and I'll tell you why I do. I'll tell you why I do. We live in such a nervous world and a nervous society. People are screaming and yelling and jumping up and down about everything. And there in the middle of it is my son, Seth. Absolutely, as Steve said, ice water in his veins.
You understand what we're talking about, Mr. Henry?
No, I know what you mean. You're saying that there was the photograph taken at the end of the roller coaster, your son was very placid, and you feel that this is a significant achievement, significant enough to get him into the Marines.
No, I don't think anything. Well, I don't know if you've been listening.
I think I have been listening, yeah.
Well, then you understand that at the end of one of the most... This roller coaster at Disneyland goes from 0 to 60 in like a half second, Steve.
Yeah. But, you've got to understand. People got to ride everything and let themselves.
Well, I can barely hear your husband.
Steve was saying that people have been known to vomit. Vomit. Do you understand, Mr. Henry, that people vomit on roller coasters? And my son, Seth, was almost bored to death. If that doesn't qualify him for some consideration by Henry Waxman for some level of admittance into the Marine Corps, I don't know what does.
All right, Bobby. 877-876-PHIL here on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley. Their son had his picture taken at one of the amusement parks, a roller coaster ride, on which everybody is excited, except he had a really placid look on his face when the roller coaster had his picture taken. They have been in contact with Henry Waxman. They want him to get into the Marine Corps based upon that single photograph. I don't know. I just don't understand. We'll get back and talk to them, but I'm almost certain I have seen photographs of people doing the exact same thing. Maybe they're not as calm as this lady's son. I don't know. But I'm sure I've seen photographs of people laughing or something, you know.
Yeah.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. Later on, Bob Green about media coverage of the so-called Ground Zero Mosque here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
You understand no one has done this.
Famous
Bill Hendry Show.
Bobby Dooley with us. She is a president of the Parent Teacher Organization in Western Estates, is also just a mother of three boys. Her eldest is going into his senior year in high school. Did he say to you that the photograph, your son had his picture taken at her at Disney World, Disneyland?
Yes, it's the California Adventure Park.
Okay, it's down in Anaheim. And he's on a roller coaster, and at the very end, he gets his picture taken where he looks completely calm and everybody else is excited. He said to you that this recommends him for the Marines?
No, I had said to him, you know, you want to be a Marine. I said, this photograph, I said, I said to him, Seth, my God, everyone on that roller coaster ride car is, they look as if they're going to have a heart attack, and you are so calm. And he said, Mom, you know that one of the guys said to him, something about the Viper at Hurricane Harbor, you need to be Air Force certified. And I just said to him, I said to Steve, what did I say, Steve?
Yep, you're getting on the phone to Henry Waxman right away.
I said I was going to get on, exactly, I'm getting on the phone to Henry Waxman. We need more good young men in the military. The Marine Corps is America, through and through. And if we spot a young man that has ice water in his veins to the point where he is on a roller coaster that goes from 0 to 80 in a half a second, and he doesn't even break a sweat.
He looks just bored.
He looks bored. We need young people like that in our Marines, especially what's happening in the other country that they're in.
All right, 877, you mean Afghanistan?
Yes.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call and discuss this with some of our listeners. I have seen the photographs. I haven't seen the photograph of your son, so maybe I'm misspeaking. Bob in Greenville, North Carolina, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Bob's listening on WNBU tonight. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, as I told you, I was a drill instructor in the Marine Corps. And are you hearing me? Are you hearing me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, and I'm not saying that your son cannot be a good Marine. But I don't think the fact that he doesn't show emotion guarantees that. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot more to it. You know, being not showing emotion on a 5-minute roller coaster ride just doesn't equate to being a good Marine. There's a lot more to it than that.
Well, and what do you mean?
About,
what do you mean? It goes from 0 to 80.
Well, the gentleman is saying that there's other elements to being a Marine than just being able to withstand stress or something, right, Bob? I mean, just that kind of stress.
Exactly.
Would that be correct?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And the stress that he's going to be subjected to going through officer candidate school or even our 13-week boot camp is a lot different than a roller coaster ride.
Do you know of the Marine Corps base at Quantico, Virginia? Do they let you in?
I do. I've been to the Marine Corps base at Quantico. That's where our officer candidate school is.
Yes, that's what they said was where it was. And that's what we called up Henry Waxman because we said, why does he have to fool around, you know, with this...
boot camp?
The boot camp, right? When he can go right over there.
Yeah, boot camp is 13 weeks long.
But every Marine goes to boot camp, and then you can decide if you want to go to officer training or not. Isn't that right? I don't know.
That's a part of it. Or they can go through, they can go get a 4-year college degree, and then they can put in to go to officer candidate school.
But one of the things that I was thinking about, and his name is Bob?
Yeah, it's Bob.
Bob, is I don't know if right now in the Afghanistan and the other things that we see, do we have the best people? And I'm not criticizing, but you should have seen this photograph. Have you ever seen a photograph?
I've seen those photographs. I've also worked with young recruits at both sides of the spectrum who were.
Have any of them shown you? Have any of them shown you photographs like that?
Oh, I've seen photographs like that. I've seen photographs.
No. What I meant to say was, do any of the Marine recruits come in with those photos and say, "Look"? I don't think that they've ever had that kind of photograph taken.
I don't know that Marines are going to come in, or young men that want to be Marines are going to come in with photographs of themselves on a roller coaster.
You know, you trivialize it, Phil.
No, I'm not trivializing it. I mean, they're going to come in and show him pictures of themselves on a roller coaster and do what?
say, look at this is the way that I am affected by this, how it happened to me. So you don't understand about.
Well, hold on for a minute. We just lost our caller, and we got to go to a break. 877-876-PHIL. A photograph of their son on a roller coaster showing no emotion means he has ice water in his veins. Does that mean he gets into the Marine Corps Officer Training School at Quantico? Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
God, what was that, a speech?
You had what?
Steve went out, and we had Dave Chatham with us. Dave's a dear friend of our families, and Dave was serving in the Marine Corps himself. He's in the insurance business, right?
Yeah, well, we went out to California Venture, the same thing.
My understanding is you had your Marine Corps friend. He's retired, right?
Oh, yeah. Dave hasn't been, he's been out of the service, I guess, for a number of years, but he went on the ride. Because we wanted to give it a comparison. Here is a real Marine on the California Screaming ride. And Steve was able to get a tape of that. Steve, give it to me. I'll play it. I don't know if you can hear that, Bill.
I can hear it, yeah.
I don't know if you heard any of that, Phil.
I heard what sounded like a man screaming twice.
That's correct, yes.
Was that your friend?
Yes, that's the exact same ride that Seth was on. And Seth, his face was as if he didn't have a face.
If you look at my son's face, Mr. Henry, it's as if there's no face there, just a slit for a mouth. Because that's the emotion.
Well, I heard a man let out a couple of screams, and you're telling me he's a Marine, and you're telling me that he was not able to withstand this roller coaster, but your son Seth is, so Seth should go to the Marine Corps officer training. And I must say, Ms. Dooley, with all due respect, I don't know, I'll take your word for it that was your friend.
Mr. Henry, you're not accusing me of lying.
No, I'm not accusing you of lying. It all seems rather bizarre to me that, okay, so the guy screamed on a roller coaster. He's an ex-Marine. Therefore, he's not as tough as your son who didn't, and your son's never been in the Marines. See, that's the leap I'm having a tough time making. Here is Brian in North Carolina on the Phil Hendry Show. Brian, go ahead.
Yes, sir. How are you doing today, Mr. Phil?
I'm good. Thank you.
I am currently an active duty Marine. And I'd just like to call and say that if you take a picture of your son into a recruiting office, the recruiter's going to laugh at you. Okay? If he wants to be a Marine, he just needs to go and do it. If he wants to be an officer, he needs to go get his degree. He needs to go to OCS, and he does not need mommy and daddy to write a letter of recommendation. Now, there is not one Marine in the Marine Corps that I know or have ever known that has a letter of recommendation. It's not needed. And
so
let me
ask you, Brian, it's Phil Hendry. I just want to ask you. So unlike the Navy Academy and the Army, where you get that letter of recommendation from a congressman, the Marines, you don't need that.
No, sir. And you don't even.
Okay.
If you do not have a 4-year degree, you can go to boot camp and be an enlisted personnel. And then after your first term, if you want to be an officer, if you're good enough and you got what it takes, you can be it. You know, and I don't know what the lady said about she doesn't think we have the best people over there. The Marine Corps is the most elite unit.
Wait a minute. Wait, hold on for a minute. Would you not play that? Don't play the tape recording of that.
Phil, it is the sound of Dave Chatham.
You got a guy that's screaming on a...
Have you ever thought that maybe your son looked like that because he was scared out of his mind and he couldn't scream? I've seen people look like that when they're scared out of their mind in a war zone. That doesn't mean that they're ice water running through their veins. If your son wants to be a Marine, he needs to go do it.
There's one of him on Splash Mountain. There's one of him on the... Let me ask this gentleman. This gentleman's a Marine?
Yes, he's a Marine.
Sir?
Yes.
You're a Marine, sir? All right.
Yes, I am.
Have you ever been on... Did you go on Splash Mountain? I know it's not the same thing as being at a war. What I'm saying is... Isn't there something comparable about going on the right at the point of Splash Mountain where Br'er Rabbit?
There is no. I've been on.
That's just sounding a little ridiculous.
I've been on roller coasters. There is no comparison to the adrenaline rush when you get into a firefight and then you look around when it's over and you and all your fellow Marines are still standing and you've all made it. There's no greater feeling. No roller coaster can touch it.
Yes, sir, but you say that you've looked at guys that have been through a firefight and their mouths are just like slits, that you said that they've got like a flat face.
What do you mean a flat face?
The face is just flat, flattened out.
Sir, if your son wants to be a Marine, he needs to go do it. He doesn't need any of y'all to help him. If he wants, that's what he wants to do, he needs to go do it. You know what? If he's an officer at the end of the day, about the Marines around.
Look, I can't keep hearing that roller coaster, okay?
That was Dave Chettam. He's a former Marine.
I've got this guy screaming in my ear, and you're telling me he's a Marine, so he's a Marine. So maybe he's having a good time on a roller coaster.
Yeah, people scream when they're having a good time, too.
They're having a good time.
He was screaming, get me off of it.
Oh, my God. Mr. Phil, I have to correct you on one thing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I heard you say the term before I picked up ex-Marine. There's no such thing as an ex-Marine. Just want to throw that
in there.
We're all Marines.
I understand. I certainly understand that.
If your son wants to join, if he's got what it takes, come on. We'd love to have him. But if not, stay on the couch and ride the roller coaster.
If you could look at these photographs of him, though, the face is flattened out.
All right. Thank you very much, sir, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. We're going to move on to another phone call.
Wait, hold on for a minute, Phil. That man refused to...
We're talking about Steve.
He refused to look at the photograph. Here it is. I don't think there's anything more graphic than that. Did you hear that?
I heard a guy yell, I got to get off this thing. How do I know that that is your friend Dave Chettam? And how do I know that's him and it isn't some other person? That's what I'm saying.
I got to test for that, Mr.
Well, Steve was there, and we certified that. The other thing about that Marine, he refused to look at the photograph of my son. You know, I think it's so unfair that people will not look at the evidence. The evidence.
The man's a Marine, and we've heard from a couple of them, and if they think that a cat on a roller coaster not showing any emotion is not a qualification, then I guess we have to accept their opinion. Here is Robert in Mobile, Alabama. Robert, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, first of all, I would like
he
to...
He didn't look at the picture.
I do understand that, you know, they're proud of their child. Both parents are proud of their child, but maybe for the wrong reasons, and... I think that his lack of emotion alludes to a much deeper problem, maybe a psychological problem. Maybe the family needs to have counseling.
I don't understand.
They made him what he is.
Why would that be a problem?
There is a big problem. You know, you're trying to get your son to be something.
Can you listen to this?
Your son will never make it through boot camp.
Well, I don't know how you could say that when he was able to withstand the G-forces, the excitement.
The G-forces have nothing to do with the emotions and psychological issues that he'll confront and he'll deal with being in the Corps.
Right, Bobby. Bobby, look, because this young man is at what's a roller coaster? It's a ride that's at a high rate of speed and it's going back and forth. All right, that's one thing. But that's not a bullet.
That's
not bullets.
He knows he can get off of that.
The exit!
Now, you heard that, Phil.
I'm listening to a roller coaster sound that your husband and your friends, and it doesn't prove to me the guy's a Marine.
It doesn't prove he's a
Marine. Steve?
How do I know that's the guy that's yelling? I hear a guy going, where's the exit? Get me off this thing. You know, it sounds a little pat to me.
What is that supposed to mean?
I mean, if I wanted to bring a tape recording to a radio show and say, hey, look, here's a guy that's really scared, and then I play the tape recording, and the guy's saying stuff like, get me off this thing, and where's the exit, it sounds pretty well scripted.
How dare you?
All right, I'm going to let this gentleman go. Thank you, sir, very much for your call. Is that it, Ed? Did you want to say anything else? Robert?
Nah,
you're right? Okay, thanks. All right, brother, thanks. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Ed in Westport, Massachusetts. Ed, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Good morning, Mr. I can only reiterate what the other gentleman has said thus far. a process to obtain a commission in the United States Marine Corps, as there is in every other service. Usually a degree program.
Are you a Marine, sir? Are you a Marine, too?
I'm sorry. I don't meet that standard. I was only ex-Air Force. I was a navigator for four mm-hmm. years.
Okay.
And,
whatever.
We had to withstand G forces too, up in C-141s and C-130s.
Oh yes, all right. Then you would know about that because of the Air Force. Don't you think that my son not showing emotion, like right here? This is a Marine, sir.
What's that?
You heard that again.
You have always taken
provocations
on everything, and it's just another provocation. There is no correlation between your son's ability to withstand a ride on a roller coaster and the necessary qualifications for obtaining commission in the United States Marine Corps. And let me say this, too. If he goes mm-hmm. to Afghanistan in the Marine Corps, whether he's an enlisted man or an officer, it isn't going to be ice water that comes out of his veins if he's hit by an RPG, an IED, or a small arms fire. It's going to be good old-fashioned red blood. And
His
being able to withstand a roller coaster ride isn't going to hold him in good stead in that case. He's going to have other qualifications and training with the Marine Corps. And if you want to get a letter for recommendation, Mr. Waxman, you can get him perhaps to give you your son a recommendation for the United States Naval Academy. After 4 years there,
That's right. You
can obtain a commission as a lieutenant in the Marine Corps.
Well, why are you talking about my son getting... My son being blown apart.
Well, that's going to happen, but I mean, it's possible, Bobby. I'm saying it's going to happen.
I was up in the C-141, or I wasn't assigned to B-52s. Any number of those planes flying at high altitude were periodically hit by SAM missiles. And their crew
isn't it true, sir, that in the airplanes that you fly in, isn't it true that all you're doing is pretending like you're weightless? Isn't that what you do up in those?
No.
What is that supposed to mean?
Weightless at all in most aircraft. You can create conditions of weightlessness, but by and large, you're not weightless.
Right.
And then you
stop. What you do?
No, that's not what they do. That's what they do for astronauts. They put the plane on it.
Try to get us to another safely.
You don't pretend like you're weightless? Because I'd seen those photographs.
It's an actual job. It's not a pretense. Nothing about the armed services is pretense except on TV. That's that provocative.
You know, all of these tape recordings, I'm telling you.
No one wanted to hear my son.
They prove nothing. If your son wants to become a Marine or any other service...
No one.
He's got to go through the process of training. If he goes to a civilian college, they used to have something called platoon leaders class, which prepares you for Quantico, and has a shortened course at Quantico, and you come out as a second lieutenant. And Marines are primarily riflemen. So that means that your son has a good chance of being deployed to a place like Afghanistan.
That means
the Taliban don't care for roller coaster rides.
Yeah.
The Mujahideen don't care for roller coaster rides. And none of those dumb Patrick can't care for roller coaster rides. And as I said before, it ain't going to be...
None of the dumb what?
Water.
You're doing a big... You know, you're talking an awful lot, and it's confusing me, and you're calling... Who's dumb? You're saying that my dumb... You're saying that... Who is dumb?
All right, well, I'm going to let this gentleman go. Thank you, sir, very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. The idea of your son going to Afghanistan after... Ms. Dooley...
No, I just want you to hear this one point. Steve, where is it?
Yes, come on.
Yeah! Now, right there, Phil.
You know what? You're gonna these tape recordings again. There is no indication, as far as I can tell, that the person that's doing that screaming is a Marine, or that, you know, I'm just gonna put the lady on hold for a minute because I want to get my word in. That guy's a Marine, or that he is actually not having a good time. Maybe he is having a good time, and it's very confusing. Her son, Seth, was on the California Screaming roller coaster, and he showed complete lack of emotion when they take your picture at the end. Bobby and Steve feel their son has ice water in his veins, quote-unquote, and therefore should be allowed into the Marine Corps Officer Training School at Quantico without boot camp. That's essentially what she's pitching here, and we've been also hearing some of these tape recordings that her husband Steve made of a Marine Corps friend, of a Marine friend who's no longer active service, who allegedly is screaming on a roller coaster. 877-876-PHIL, a world famous Phil Hendry show. It's unbelievable.
Well, you're not being fair.
No, I'm playing all of it.
Did you hear the roller coaster, man?
About eight times, yeah.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Ms. Dooley, when I talked about my kids having their pictures taken at Universal or Knott's, or and they got their picture taken at the end of the ride, I'm not saying that they're some kind of special superheroes. I'm just saying, wasn't that funny?
You said that one of your kids attempted to look flaccid.
I didn't say flaccid. I said placid. Okay.
Yeah, well, you said a kid had a flat face, but you haven't seen a picture of my son.
It doesn't make any difference if your son has a flat face, as you call it, where he doesn't show any emotion at the end of a roller coaster. You've heard from three or four Marines that have called this show who have said that it doesn't matter how calm you are when it comes to a roller coaster. It doesn't matter how cool, calm, and collected you are. The fact... Oh, come on, will you?
Here it is, here.
Ms. Dooley.
Here, no, right here.
Yes.
Oh, my God! That was very graphic. And
that was as graphic as it
did. All I heard was a guy screaming, and I heard a bunch of kids screaming.
All right, you heard kids screaming and an adult male, a Marine.
You know, Bobby, I understand, and you're entitled to your opinion, and I think it's a little... I just don't think you're seeing things. Here's Jennifer in Wilmington, North Carolina, listening on WZTK. Go ahead, Jennifer. You're on The Phil Henry Show.
Hi, Phil. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi. Yes, ma'am.
I just want to say...
Did you hear the roller coaster?
I've got a lady on the line who wants to talk to you.
Right, but did you hear the roller coaster?
The lady is on the line, and she's talking to you now, Bobby, and I'll listen to the roller coaster later.
I just want to say to you, first off, as a mother, every mother thinks your children are special, and just because your son is showing no emotion on this roller coaster, I have to agree with all the other callers. It doesn't mean that he's ready to be in the military. And first off, foremost, most definitely not ready for an officer's position. And if your son is anything like you, he's definitely not ready, because several times you've been asked not to play that recording of the roller coaster, and you keep just... playing it over people as they're trying to talk.
Evidence.
It's very rude and disrespectful. So
yes.
If your son is anything like you, he's not ready for officer duty at all.
Well,
so if your son wants to be in the military,
that's very unfair.
Let him enroll. Let him go talk to a recruiter, get enrolled, go through basic, and do it just like everyone else instead of trying to get him pushed to the head of the line.
Can I ask you one question?
Yes.
Don't you think the fact that he doesn't show emotion on that roller coaster, don't you think that's significant?
Miss Dooley, I ride roller coasters. I like to get on the biggest.
This man is a former Marine.
And we got
this is a former Marine. That was a former Marine.
Miss Dooley, I was just in Orlando. In Orlando, Florida, not even a month ago. And my son, my 10-year-old son, got on the biggest roller coaster. We did not think he was going to be able to do it. He was 10 years old.
What park were you at? What park were
At this what particular one, we were in Tampa at Busch Gardens. He was on the street block.
No.
Okay?
Busch Gardens is lightweight.
No.
Wait a minute. What do you mean Busch Gardens is lightweight?
Well, whatever.
Go ahead.
My son,
go ahead, Jennifer.
10 years old. He got on his roller coaster. We got the picture. I would be more than happy to send you a copy of his picture on
I
the
would
roller
like
coaster.
To see a copy.
He,
yeah, I would
10
like to
years
see
old, holding on to his daddy's arm, but his face did not have any expression on it. He's 10. I would not go to anyone and say, okay, my son is ready to be an officer in anything because he has no expression on his face.
Well, you
it
did
doesn't
hear
mean
what the other
that
Marine
he's ready
said.
For anything. I'm
well,
sorry?
You did, hear what the other Marine, you did hear what the other Marine said. He said, it's possible that that boy has psychological problems.
Well, wait a minute.
You know what? I didn't want to say this to you, but in my mind, I'm thinking maybe your son is a psychopath. Maybe that's why he was born on that ride.
What about your son?
He may be, keep an eye on it. But I definitely won't go try and get him enrolled in any military. He's not ready for that, definitely not.
Well, you guys don't think your sons are psychopaths. I mean, come on. I mean, these are just boys. This is something that kids do. These are kids. The kids do this stuff all the time.
You mean, so you're talking about my son, too?
Well, your son, you know.
My son, but your son's okay.
It's easy. Once you go to these
Mr. Henry,
enough,
I hope you meet your
you
end by way of a psychopath.
You learn where the camera is. You know where the camera is. And you can get yourself ready.
Would you listen one more time, please? There, you heard it.
You know what? That sounded like a guy. That sounded like...
Sounded like what? Like her son?
Phil Henry Show.
Actually, at that point, it actually sounded like what he went on.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Henry.
I think they have a right to have it here, but I don't think it's...
And with all these fun wigs, and it was, and you know, that funny girl.
You have a great truck. Appears to me it's not a new truck.
I was born of a whore and bred as an assassin.
Don't condescend to me.
World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show overnight that knows what it's talking about any time of the day. News, talk, and entertainment show where truth is our bitch. And, of course, we take you through the looking glass and beyond and some pretty weird places to find it. At our website, philhenryshow.com, right now is a live streaming video of our show as well as live streaming audio of the show. And you can download archived hours, archived bits. We have a classic podcast about three times a week on iTunes. We have our regular podcast on iTunes. We have a mini podcast on iTunes. Jack, we're podcasted out, man. I can't do any more of these. Anyway, we got another one that's scheduled for this week. In fact, we're taking votes on which one you think should be our next classic podcast. So go to philhenryshow.com. And definitely vote on which is our next classic podcast. Also, please go over to our website tonight and register for our shout-out at the beginning of next hour. Get your name in, your town, and your sentiments and feelings, and, you know, how, you know, just how's it going, okay? 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Islamic Center backers won't rule out taking funds from Saudi Arabia or Iran. And the story gets curiouser and curiouser as the... as the man said, right? The developers behind the Islamic Center planned for a site near Ground Zero. They will not rule out accepting financing from the Mideast, including from Saudi Arabia and Iran. This is a story that has has caught the attention of the American people because the American people are, I wouldn't say unanimous, but there is a huge majority of people that just don't dig it. And the opposite side, the people that are in favor of it, are completely misreading why there is opposition. They believe that the people opposed to this boss don't understand the Constitution. That's not the point. It's a far more subtle and perhaps in the end argument that cannot be articulated. I would think that some people who consider themselves progressive would be familiar with the language of sentiment and emotion and tradition and feeling and patriotism, that you'd be familiar with people who are not opposed to something on a legal ground, on a constitutional ground. Everybody understands it's a constitutional right to religion. Everyone understands it's a constitutional right for those folks to put that mosque there. There's no argument there. You're not getting an argument there. And the more they say, don't you get it, it's in the Constitution, the less they are able to grasp the real feeling in this country as to why people don't want that mosque there. It is bad timing. Now, Robert Green is going to join us from Fraser Foods. Mr. Green is with the American Business and Political Council, and he's going to talk to us about the mosque. his business and his interaction with the Islamic community in Orange County, California, which is where he has his business. First, here is Larry King Live and hip-hop mogul Russell Simmons talking about how it's unfair to say Muslims were the reason for the 9/11 attacks.
I think they have a right to...
Wait a minute, man. Wait a minute, man. That ain't it at all. Let's get back to... here is Larry King Live with... what's his name?
Imam Faisal has been a part of our... what we call our...
You know what? I can't do this, man. Where is this Ground Zero audio? And why do we have all of this audio from Ground Zero, man, when all I really need is these three cuts?
If you're blaming Muslims, then you need to change your mind.
There it is.
If you're blaming Muslims for the attack on 9/11, then you need to change your mind.
I'm blaming you.
We didn't... Did we blame Christians at the first World Trade attack?
Huh?
We didn't. And I think it's insane.
First World Trade attack?
What's that? Wrongheaded. And it creates a cycle of negativity. Russell?
Here is the New York Daily News talking to New Yorkers about the mosque.
I think they have a right to have it here, but I don't think it's the right thing to do. I think it's poor taste.
Someone wants to promote tolerance. They should move the mosque. That would show tolerance.
There's other things that are going to be going on here. Culinary classes, sports that they're going to have, a swimming pool. I mean, you know, what's so horrible about that? And, you know, it's not going to be just for Muslims.
Former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani weighs in on the mosque in an interview on the Today Show this morning.
The question here is a question of sensitivity, people's feelings, and are you really what you pretend to be? As I understand this Cordoba house, the idea of it is to healing, to show that Muslims care about the same things as Christians and Jews do, that we're one people, that we should be one. Well, if you're going to so horribly offend the people that were most directly offended by this, most directly affected by this, the families of the September 11 victims, who I happen to know and have gotten to know, you know, really well, then how are you healing? I mean, all this is doing is creating more division, more anger, more hatred.
All right, so that's Rudy Giuliani. Sorry we confused the audio there. Robert Green now joining us from Fraser Foods, which is a grocery store chain in the Southeast and the Southwest, is also a member of the Business Political Council. What have you heard there, Bob, that you could add to, and what have you heard there that perhaps gives you some ideas on how to proceed here? You're a businessman. You don't want to alienate anybody. You also want to make sure that you people in business are heard on this. So what have you heard that you would add to?
Well, Phil, I have to tell you that what I've heard is a lot of people who are opposed to having the mosque. I've heard a lot of people that are in favor of having the mosque, And there's absolutely no doubt that it is a divisive issue, and there's no doubt that this is an issue that is going to be debated for quite some time. Those of us in business, especially with the end of Ramadan coming up, and those of us who are in areas of the United States where there's a lot of Muslims, it doesn't exactly benefit us to continue this discussion. And that's probably going to... You know, throw a monkey wrench into what you wanted to do tonight.
Well, no, I want you to... What do you mean?
Well, what I mean is, whether you're in favor of the mosque or you're against the mosque, there is a third way, and there's a third group of people, and those of us in business who need to move forward with our plans for the coming holiday season. And when I get in my car at night, and I don't leave the offices till very late, and I know that I advertise in your program, I advertise in several shows across not only across the Los Angeles market, but around the country. And I hear from one station to the next, I hear mosque, you know, the mosque and the Ground Zero. And I thought I heard you say something about how they're not allowed to say Ground Zero, which I have to say I endorse.
You endorse saying Ground Zero?
No. I don't endorse saying.
You endorse the editing of that?
Yeah, I endorse the editors telling their reporters not to use the term Ground Zero boss. Although I did hear it on your program a couple of times tonight, and I'm thinking, okay, how does that work when he was told he's not supposed to? But I know you don't work for AP.
No, I don't work for AP, and I don't think that I use the term Ground Zero Mosque because that's where it is, and that's how people identify it. And that's what it is.
Well, that may be true, but the more you say that, the more and people like myself, the more we have to sort of dig ourselves out, Bill, from underneath this mound of you know what, you know, to try to get the audience and the customers back into our store. And so one of the things we talked about at the meeting we had today was that we would all get in touch with the media. I, talking to you and a lot of these other people, the other executives that I was with, would get in touch with the media and would tell the media that we appreciate very much you talking about the mosque, but now we need to get ready for September the 10th and beyond, and we would rather, if our advertising is in certain shows, we'd rather that it not be in a show that is beating this mosque issue almost beyond recognition. And someone had said...
Well, Bob, you know...
Well, let me just finish this one point. Someone said that if the mosque issue was a human face, you guys in talk radio have beat it beyond recognition.
If the mosque issue was a human, that's a grisly and macabre way of putting it. I mean, we're talking about it because it's a news issue. It's a news item.
It was a news item, and I think that's what you got wrong. It was a news item. It's not a news item anymore. It's going to be built. A lot of people wish it wasn't going to be built. A lot of people are glad that it's going to be built. And then there is that group of people in the middle, myself and other executives who are in the retail business, that are whatever you decide. But I'm hopeful that after you, whoever you people are that make these decisions, that you don't make a decision that is going to keep people out of my store and will impact my business. Now, we're getting ready for September the 10th.
And now, what is September the 10th?
What is September the 10th? Well, for those of us who are sensitive to the Muslim community, that's the day after the end of Ramadan.
And well, Bob, well, hold on. That's not fair, man. It's not that I'm not sensitive to the Muslim community. I'm talking about one specific mosque, one specific area, one specific issue having to do with one specific mosque. Not all mosques, not the entire religion, just this one, where it is and what it means.
It is the first day after the end of Ramadan, Mr. Henry, and I know that. And
why is that day significant?
Why is it significant? Because that's the first day after the end of their fast. And so what that means basically is we're going to have a lot of our customers coming through the door that are Muslim customers, and if you have been fasting since the 11th of August, and it is now the day after the end of the fast, you put two and two together, there's a lot of hungry people. I'm going to have a lot of these people coming through, and they're going to want to eat what they eat, and we're stocking up on these foods. And I want them to know. If you could just hold on for a second, because I had a list that we wanted to talk about.
All right, and we'll get to the list, but I'm saying to you that you want to stop talking about the mosque because there's going to be a lot of Muslims coming through the door who are hungry on September the 10th. How does talking about the mosque, you know...
That you're talking about the mosque and I have Muslim listeners on your show, and because I advertise on your show.
All right, so if I'm talking about this... They're going to turn me off.
They're going to turn off your program, and they're not going to hear the Fraser Food ads. And that's what we were talking about today at the council meeting.
All right, I got to give our number out. It's 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Robert Green talking here about the Ground Zero Mosque. You want me to stop talking about it, not to affect business.
I want you to stop talking about it, Phil, because first of all, what I wanted to say is we've got, and I hate putting it in this context, the chicken coma, the curries, the chicken kebabs, the mutton, the dumaloo, and we have, there's a lot of stuff that we're laying in, because when the 10th of September rolls around, we've got a lot of really, we're going to have, the doors are going to open, and there's going to be a flood of Muslims coming in here. And when you talk about this mosque, which you have a right to talk about, it begins to erode the business I'm going to see on the 10th until there won't be anybody. So I think, I would ask you, don't you think you you know, as the kids say, don't you think you've jaw-jacked this enough?
Do I think I've jaw-jacked the mosque topic enough?
That is my question.
I as long as people are interested in it, no. 877-876-PHIL. Well, hold on, Mr. Green, and we'll put Bob Green on hold. That's a pretty good question. 877-876-PHIL. Bob Green is on. He is the CEO of Fraser Foods. They got to do business, and they do business with Muslims. And he's asking, have we not talked about the Ground Zero Mosque enough? Isn't there a point at which we've talked too much about it, and he's going to lose business on September the 10th when, quote, a lot of hungry Muslims come pouring through the door, end of quote. 877-876-PHIL is the number, and we'll be back with more Robert Green and your calls on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We got to see that yogurt, too.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, you've been in touch with David Hall.
Oh, yeah. I've been in touch with David G. Hall, who's the vice president of syndication for the program. But it doesn't mean that I haven't been in touch with others, Phil. What we are essentially saying is we'd really like some consideration as business people. If you're going to talk about the mosque and you are talking about it being it's bad. And so we never, ever hear what's good about a Muslim, and I've got a store that is going to be loaded to the gills with, and not only do Muslims buy this food, Phil, but Christian, Caucasian, whatever you want to call them, they buy the mutton, they buy the lamb, they buy the kebab. And if you're going to be talking about this Ground Zero Mosque like it is, like it's leprosy, well, the next thing you know, Muslims aren't listening, and the Americans don't want to listen either because they're not going to hear about the deals that I've got because they're going to be so put off by this mosque.
So the Americans are not going to, you know.
Now, Mr. Henry, with all due respect, please don't make it sound more complicated than it is.
No, you're making it complicated. I think you're saying that if I talk about the mosque, then the Muslims will be turned off. And the Americans that would buy the kebabs and would buy the tandoori, or what, not tandoori.
Tandoori is Indian food. That is not, it's not Islam. And, you know, you're really making life difficult for me when you say that.
No, I'm not. Hold on for a minute, sir. You're telling me that my non-Muslim listeners won't buy all this stuff because they'll associate it with Muslims and they don't want to eat what they eat.
That is it. Yeah, in essence, yes, sir. That's what it is.
877-876-PHIL. It's a news item, though. It's a news issue. Bo in San Francisco, listening on KNEW. Go ahead, Bo. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Thank you very much, Phil. I am very, very disappointed of that guy running his mouth. Okay, he's just been selfish. He's only interested on the money he's going to make for the Muslim. I don't think he's a true Muslim. Just being a selfish business person, bringing down the American people, saying that they're not going to buy kebab from him, and only the Muslim will buy kebab. He's a liar.
Well, the only thing that I want to make sure is that you people...
You're being very, very selfish. Stop it. You're
that
very
you
selfish.
People come to the store.
Don't bring us down.
Are you going to shop at my store or not?
Just
are you going to shop
it.
At my store?
The hair.
No.
Yeah, very selfish.
I got business that I got to do, and the business
because of the business, bring down the American people. The American people make you who you are, okay? Because of your business, they have to bring us down. Who the hell are you?
Well, I can't understand the gentleman what he's saying.
What are you saying exactly? That this man, are you a Muslim, Bob?
You know full no, well I'm not Muslim.
Huh?
No, I'm not a Muslim. But what I'm trying to say
guy
is
very excited.
Muslim is using the Muslim name. You know, in pretense, but he is a very selfish businessman.
I
he
see.
Is a
All
very
right.
Selfish
well, that's the accusation,
person.
Bob. So, what is your response to that?
Well, I got to tell you, Phil, if a businessman these days in a recession is accused of being selfish because he wants to make a profit, I don't know what to tell you about where the world's going. I want to make a profit. I want to keep my Muslim customers happy. you're running your, excuse me, Phil, for saying this, you and Bo want to talk about this mosque until the cows come home. Well, that's great, because guess what? No Muslim will come into my store and buy the kebab or the lamb. I got to wait for Bo to come in and buy it. He won't, because I don't know what he eats. And I'm out, and you guys are what? You get to talk about the mosque.
You think this mosque is really killing business for any man that is doing trade with the Muslim community?
I'm telling you that we are, in the meeting we had today, we're simply asking that you hold off talking about this until we can at least look at the fourth quarter. That's all we're asking. So we can see what kind of profit we're making.
No.
Why not?
The American people are reacting because of the 9/11, something that happened at New York. Now, you guys want to build a mosque very close to the 9/11, which is a very sensitive area for everybody today. For everybody.
See, you're not telling the American people,
because of my business, they should go ahead and build the mosque. Because of my business, somebody's not coming to buy my kebab, you have to build the mosque. I have to please the Muslim people because of my business. You're a selfish person. You don't care.
The more you talk about that, I can tell you, Bo, the more you talk about this, the more you're killing my kebab business.
You don't even care people that died at that 9/11. The only feeling you have is your money. The only thing you care about is your money. You don't care about people that died at that 9/11.
My money and my girlfriend.
Yeah, that's great. 877-876-PHIL. Thank you, Bo. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. More from Bob Green.
That's completely unfair.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're telling me that the constant discussion of the Ground Zero Mosque has
I would ask you not to use that term. They have asked you.
No, AP asked its editors not to use the term Ground Zero Mosque. Nobody's directed me. Nobody can direct me, to be perfectly honest with you.
Well, I would hope that you would be at least sensitive to your advertisers. I am trying very much to maintain my business through Ramadan, and that when it is over with, of course, we do have our Muslim customers, but I have to tell you, Phil, I've got a container of New Zealand lamb chops. Ordinarily, these fly out of the store. And
I thought, well, you're saying that Muslims are fasting right now.
No, I'm talking about my non-Muslim customers. They would buy these lamb chops. They ordinarily, I mean, they're gone within 48 hours. Gone. And now they are sitting in the case in our butcher shop, and I'm going to have to throw them into the garbage. Because there's only so long you can keep this meat around, and I wouldn't even feed it to a dog after a few days. I'm going to have to take these New Zealand lamb chops and pitch them into a garbage pail. You know why? Because this mosque talk has got everybody just staying away from anything that is even close to the idea of lamb or any Muslim food. Now, we had, as I mentioned to you, and we talked about this, when our guys, the guys that are stocking the shelves, the guys that are bringing in the Middle Eastern food, we will pray that call of prayer, if you've got that, Sam. Did you hear that, Bill?
Yeah.
We play that while they're stocking the shelves, and then as the doors open.
So you're playing, turn that off, will you, because I can't hear you?
Yeah.
So you're playing something religious in order to do what for the guys that are stocking the shelves? Are you telling me that this is a part of how you keep Muslim customers?
I want them to know that if they are angry about this mosque, it wasn't me talking about it.
And you think you're going to get them on your side by playing the call to prayer?
I'm making it more comfortable here. Listen, can you hear that?
Will you turn that off, please, Bob? I can't hear anything.
I'm asking you if you can hear it.
I could hear it fine, yeah. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call here. We have Cindy in Alameda, California, listening on KNEW. Go ahead, Cindy. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, hi. I was just listening.
Hi.
And hello. I was just listening,
hello.
And I think it's absolutely... Hello. Can you hear me?
I can hear the lady, Phil.
Okay, great. You need to keep that mosque
I think it's absolutely ridiculous.
Can we not hear the...
I'm sorry, they were stocking the shelves tonight and we were playing it.
Go on, Cindy.
I think it's absolutely ridiculous that he's only catering to one religion, you know? I mean...
Oh, no, ma'am. No, I'm not catering to one religion. I'm catering to all religions. This just happens to be Ramadan. And so right now, we had the New Zealand pork chops getting ready to sell those. And all the other, you know...
So you don't think that there's any Americans who were Muslim that lost family members in 9/11?
That lost what?
That lost family members in 9/11? You think it was only Christian people? That it's Christians against Muslims? Is that what you're saying?
What is she talking about?
She's talking about 9/11.
Yeah,
I'm talking about... That's what I'm saying. I would rather that you not talk about that. Because that's where they're building the building. That's the whole issue.
I can't hear, Bob.
Charlie, turn it off until they come back.
You don't care about the people.
No, what I'm saying is, of course I do, ma'am. I certainly do, ma'am. And we pray for them every day.
But you don't think that other Americans eat lamb? You don't think that other Muslims do? When you started talking about the mosque issue, they stopped buying the lamb because it reminds them of the mosque.
So Christians stopped buying lamb kebabs.
No, the New Zealand lamb chops.
The New Zealand lamb chops because it reminds them of the mosque.
That is what we discussed today, yeah. So that when we have the guys coming in and they're stocking the shelves tomorrow morning and they're going to bring in some of the specialty foods that we provide.
What is it? Is it going to be illegal immigration next month? Now all the Mexicans, like me, will play this as they're coming through the door.
I can't hear anything, Bob. Were you playing that?
Mr. Henry, you've said you can't hear anything about six times. I'm trying to play for you.
Are you going to start saying this is what you hear when you come to the door?
You understand?
No, I don't understand. I didn't hear a thing you said. Go ahead, Cindy. Say it one more time.
I'm a Mexican, okay? So next month is it going to be illegal immigration? Now you're going to start, you know, worrying about the Mexican people and what they think about politics? I mean, I think it's ridiculous to stock the store according to what's going on. Yeah, I think it's ridiculous to worry about what they're saying on the radio.
I didn't say that I was going to worry about Mexicans. I know
you're not saying that, but is that what the issue is going to be next month? Next month it's going to be something else. They're always going to be talking about
You know what the issue is going to be next month, Cindy? It's still going to be the mosque because Mr. Henry and others like him won't shut up about it. So next month and the month after that, we're going to be, as far as our Muslim customers go, there won't be one left. There won't be one person with a, I guess I can't say, but won't be one with the thing on the head coming in.
With the thing on the head. You're the guy that's so sensitive, huh?
What do you mean? The hijab.
I wonder what you call Catholic people during Lent when they've got the thing on their head.
Do you know what this is, ma'am?
Pretty soon you're going to have everybody not
Do you know what this is, ma'am?
Because Catholics aren't going to want to go there. Muslim people aren't going to want to go there. What about other people that have things on their head?
Wait. You just said something. Chocolate people. Who are they?
Catholic people have things on their head during Lent on Ash Wednesday.
There's other people that have
people.
Things on their
no,
head.
No, she said
you
Catholic
sound very,
people.
You very, very political correct. You sound very,
no,
very
ma'am,
political
I,
correct.
If you're wearing, you don't have to wear a napkin on your head anymore if you're Catholic, because didn't you tell me that, Mr. Henry?
Mr. Green, I never told you. I don't know what the thing is. Cindy may be right.
Well, you said that the girls used to pin napkins to their heads.
That was way back in the day. We're talking about Lent right now.
I'm talking about on Ash Wednesday. Somebody wears
on Ash Wednesday.
Is that what you say? Is that what you say when people walk into your store? You can't refer to it correctly. But you know what music to play when you're stocking the shelves.
Cindy, you know what's interesting? No, ma'am. No, I do not. But what I'm asking you is this: you can at least have the common courtesy not to talk about chocolate people or whatever you're talking about when I'm playing the call to prayer. And you continue to talk about...
What do you mean? She's on my show and can talk about what she wants to talk about. And because you're playing that call to prayer doesn't mean she doesn't get to talk about chocolate people. That's the third time you said that. She said Catholic people.
Everybody's asking me.
It sounds like you're picking and choosing what you're gonna, which religion you're gonna help out, depending
no,
on.
No, ma'am. I said I'm helping all religions out. I'm helping all religions out. And if Mr. Henry keeps talking about the mosque,
talking,
then Christians won't.
Rice, you're
all right, I'll prove it
religions.
To you. I'll prove it to you. When's the last time you bought lamb? Thank you.
I buy lamb all the time. I had lamb roast the other night. I did too.
Why do I think you're lying?
Why won't you just take the lady at what she said?
I think I'm very right. I think I broiled in the oven and I put some garlic on it and it was very good.
You broiled.
And it doesn't
in the
matter
oven.
What religion I'm at. I think I also had Indian food the other night with curry. And then the night before that, I had Chinese food because I live in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Katie
and I
Curry?
Eat what I want, and then I won.
What do you mean, Katie Curry?
I was making a joke.
You know something, Mr. Green? This is not joking.
All right.
It's not joking.
The other night. All right, let me ask the man. This lady said she ate lamb the other night. What do you think?
Lord.
Yeah, he thinks you're lying.
And I think,
you know,
I, think
Bob,
I wasn't listening to that while I was eating it.
Yeah. Listen, Cindy, thank you very much. It's a very important issue. People are very motivated by it. And, Bob, if anything, you...
Look, Mr. Henry, don't start acting all the gentleman because you got this girl on the phone.
I'm not... You know what? I'll let Cindy go. I'm sure you have better things to do. Cindy, thank you for your call. What you're hearing here are people are motivated by a feeling that this is the wrong place and the wrong time. And if you want to get on the right side of this issue and you don't want to piss off customers, what you ought to say is...
What should I say, Phil? Should I be against the mosque? Should I be in favor of the mosque? What should I say? This is the most neutral position I can take. And when the guy comes in to stock the kebab and he has the yogurt drinks, and I play a little, and you think I'm being somehow disrespectful?
Absolutely, I think you're being disrespectful. I might as well start playing the Catholic Mass.
Boy, you are something, man. Everything with you people turns into a major event.
And no, you're the guy that's talking about the mosque, and I got to stop talking about it because it ain't sensitive, man. That's what you're saying. Tori, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Tori's calling from Toronto. Go ahead.
Hi there.
Please.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
Long time listener, sensitivity
to religion.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm Catholic, and my boyfriend's actually Islamic, and a lot of us here are completely on the fence about this whole topic. So these radio shows that talk about the mosque, whether it be positive or negative, it really helps us to make an informative decision about what we want to do. And the second point that I...
What do you want to do? You mean whether you want to visit the mosque or not? I mean, really, it's out of our hands.
The second point that I wanted to make was that, you know, as far as your food goes, if we're craving a kebab, then we're going to go to your store. But, I mean, I wouldn't go to your store because you yourself are just making yourself look ridiculous. Let us listen to the radio show so that we can have an informative decision. The decision is whether to oppose or to be for the mosque. And being that you live in the United States, I'm here in Canada, as they're both free countries, we can do what we want.
Well, yeah, but I heard about Ann Coulter. Didn't she get run out of your country? So
let's not talk about
that
right now.
And the other question that I wanted to ask you: Do you have any Islamic people that work for you?
Do I have smaller people that work for me?
Do you have any Islamic people that work for you?
No, I do not. No, but we have a lot of customers.
Why would you be playing the call to prayer? Do you even know what they're saying?
Because when we open the doors on September the 10th,
can you translate what
the
call to prayer is saying in English?
I have no idea. It doesn't make any difference. It means something to my Muslim customers. And
well, that's
be
what they use for
their employees with what you think is right. I mean, and hire some Islamic people if you feel that strongly about it. God, I mean,
Here we go.
You should just go to bed.
This is some of this good Canadian fascism she's laying on us. So I ain't supposed to do this, and I can't supposed to do that.
Wait a minute. You're playing that.
No, she's saying you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. You know, maybe up in Canada you guys live without
all
stuff.
All I'm saying, here in Canada we have freedom.
And
there isn't any people that are
all right.
Completely
okay,
ridiculous.
Do you know how to interpret
you.
This? What does this mean?
Allah.
What did he say? You don't know. And that means it doesn't matter whether you know or not. It means it only matters that they hear it and they buy the lamb.
Yeah. Okay,
no,
Tori, thanks for your
call. No one's going to buy your lamb because you are a ridiculous man. You are an absolute ridiculous man, and
right,
no one's
you don't agree with
your
me.
Lamb.
Because you don't, agree with me.
I agree
no,
with
you don't agree
Henry
with me.
Because people should be informed about what decision to make. Whether it be for or against, it doesn't matter. But we as the public need
right,
to
say that you,
know.
Let's say, you make your, let's say you make your decision and you're in favor of the mosque. Who cares?
Exactly.
What do you mean, who cares?
Come to
who
your
cares?
Store because you're a silly, silly man. You are the most ridiculous person I've ever heard.
You weren't going to come to my store regardless of whether I was in favor or against the mosque.
You know how many Canadian tourists
you're
come?
Filled,
you know how many Canadian filled, tourists come to New York? Are you ridiculous? I think you're
filled
you
with
have no sense.
You're filled with hatred.
Mr. Henry,
you're
I'm going to take my leave. Mr. Henry, you are an absolute amazing radio show host.
She has a boyfriend that is Muslim, and he doesn't know what this means. She can't figure that out.
I'm in Canada. You know, we're the most multicultural country in the world.
Oh, horse dung. How many black people you got compared to the States? Ooh, I got you on that one, didn't I? Got you on that one. Do you?
Oh, my God.
Seriously. You
have
no blacks.
Have you ever been to Canada?
No
have
blacks.
You?
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
No, they got five or six blacks up there, and they go, oh, we're multicultural. You would have none. And the other thing the other thing that you don't have are Muslims. You think you've got a lot of Muslims, but you don't.
Will you quit playing that, man? I'm going to flip my lid if he keeps playing that. Anyway, thank you so much, Tori, for your call. I appreciate it. And thanks for checking in tonight and from the city where my mother and father were born, Toronto, Canada. Bye-bye. 877-87 what?
What's that?
Mr. Green, I'm taking a break.
Your mother and father were born in Toronto, Canada. Well, that explains. That's why you hung on the line. You were trying to pick up that...
I was not. We'll take a break. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
No black people in Canada.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I don't know what you mean by it being unfair.
You took exception to the fact that we were using the call to prayer. I had downloaded and was going to use on our PA in the store the theme to Alibaba and the 40 Thieves, and it sounded asinine, if you'll pardon the expression, so I went with the call to prayer.
And you're going to use Alibaba and the 40 Thieves so that the cat that stocks your Middle Eastern food feels at home.
No, not just him, but the people coming through the door. And this is something that, that you and your listeners have misunderstood from the beginning. I am trying desperately to diffuse this argument about the mosque and to get everyone to feel at home. If you're Muslim, you love the lamb. If you're a Christian Caucasian, you love the lamb. If you were, I don't know some of these religions. I'm not familiar with them. The Wiccan...
We're not here to list all the religions, Mr. Green. What we're talking about more specifically is, why is it you want people coming through the store and coming through the doors of the store this particular season, this particular Ramadan season, and more to the point, why you're asking us to stop talking about an issue? It's because it's the bottom line, and there's people that are offended by that, and I am too. Okay?
You know what? All right. So you can make a living, and everybody listening to your show tonight can make a living, but Bob Green... Guess what? Bob Green doesn't get to make a living. Bob Green cannot... Eddie, turn it off. They don't get it. Turn it off.
Yeah, we don't get it. You're right.
But I can't make a living.
Of course you can make a living, but you can't stop the dialogue about these issues. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Ross in Chicago. Go ahead, Ross. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, I'm a soldier, man. This guy's making me angry. I mean, I've been to the Middle East. I've been to Afghanistan. I've been to Iraq several times. And I think it's a kick in the face to the American people. What happened to us? You know, everything. If they want to put a mosque right there, they can put it in the middle of the Hudson, and this guy can take a store and put it right next to it, and right in the middle of the Hudson, they can all have their stuff right there.
All I'm saying is, how come they keep talking about it when I've got
lamb that's going bad. What am I supposed to do with it?
You eat it.
No, sir. I buy it to sell it. I don't buy it to eat it. I didn't buy a ton of lamb.
Bob, are you telling me that because I'm talking about the mosques, your lamb's going bad?
Mr. Henry, I think I
yes, sir. Who put the gun to your head to tell you to buy the lamb?
Nobody.
Turn it off, will you?
So I can't. The one thing that, the one thing that'll get a Muslim in the store, and he won't let me do it.
At about, what is it, midnight in Los Angeles. It's 2 a.m. in Chicago. You're going to get the Muslims to the door tonight, huh?
I don't know when they end their fast, but I can tell you this. Nobody put a gun to my head, sir, but I know what my customers like. The New Zealand lamb chop, you can't beat it. You can't beat it. And yet I haven't sold one lamb chop because the Muslims don't want to come in here, and the Christian, whatever you call them, white people or black or whoever, they don't want to come in here because they think lamb all of a sudden means the Twin Towers are going down.
Maybe you're kidding me.
You buy New Zealand's lamb chops. What's wrong with American lamb chops? Why don't you buy your products and everything and support Americans? Maybe these people who you want in your store, Americans,
well, you really want to, you really want to run me out of business, don't you? So I've got to buy American lamb chops, which will put me in the poorhouse, not sell them to Muslims or Americans. And I'll sit down and have myself a big feast of lamb before they put the pink notice on the window that says, you know, foreclosed.
I'm saying
that's nuts.
You're an American. I'm an American. We all need to support America.
Well, that only goes so far.
Oh, yeah, that only goes so far. As long as you're making dollars, huh? That only goes so far. Bob, why don't you just get out of the mosque controversy? Why don't you just not talk about it? Why don't you just have your store and be above or below or beside the politics? Don't be. I don't think stores, grocery stores, should be involved in politics. Just do. Just sell food, okay?
Just sell food. All right. I'll just sell food. That's all I'll do. I'll just sell food. But but you know what? The stink that that lamb is going to make after it goes bad, there won't be anybody with an appetite around here for weeks.
And you know what? Before it goes bad. Yeah. Take it down to your local shelter. Take it down to your local soup kitchen, whatever you have.
That's right. All right. Okay, I'll give a lot of bad lamb to some bums. I'm sure they'll love that.
Not bums, Henry.
I meant homeless.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Clearly, Dr. Seifel did not know how to work basic. Maybe
the question here is a question of sensitivity, people's feelings.
I have a great truck. Appears to me it's not a new truck. Appears to me it's going faster than
perhaps
everyone else.
They'll bring another couple home with them. That would be fun.
Burn in hell.
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Where truth is our bitch and where we go through the looking glass every night to find it. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We'll do a few shout-outs tonight from people who've checked in on our website in a few minutes. And we want you to go over there also and vote on which Classic Phil podcast you'd like to hear as a download coming up next. Next in our, you know, series of downloads that we do. And, of course, on our website, philhendryshow.com, there's a lot more to do. You can watch a live streaming video of the show and hear the audio of the show as we do it. You can also download the show the next day. And you can also access all kinds of downloads from our archives. Oh, thousands and thousands of hours of archived material. And we're converting that into downloads every day. So you guys need to check back and look at that. Robert Leonard is joining us here. Robert, how you doing?
I'm good.
And Bud?
Yeah, I'm going to ask you about if the call to prayer thing, if you still want to use that.
What call? That's Robert Greene's call to prayer.
Well, I thought maybe we could use it for a comedy bit.
No, we're not using a Muslim call to prayer for a comedy bit. Get it out of here. I don't need that kind of trouble, okay?
That ain't funny.
Oh, you do, huh?
Yeah. La, 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 la.
Is that funny, huh?
I think it's funny.
Jennifer Aniston blasted for using the word retard. Well, now, how about that? Jennifer Aniston has come under fire for using the word retard during an interview. As if she's a brain surgeon and not a know-better, people are all upset with Jennifer Aniston because she used the word retard. After all, she's just a TV actress and not a very good one at that. She's a good actress. I'm kidding. Not a very good movie actress. I don't know. I wouldn't know. Jennifer Aniston has come on. You want to know why I wouldn't know? Because I haven't seen a movie that she's in. If I have, I didn't know that she was in it. I mean, she's not exactly put up front and center, is she?
Yeah, man. They always make a movie trying to make her in a meat star. Or not a meat star, but a movie star.
Meat star.
I meant movie star.
Well, what movie's she been in?
I don't know, but they're always making one with her.
I know she was in a movie with, what's-his-ass? Wasn't she in that flick with George Clooney or something? Or I think it's somebody else.
No, that was Jennifer Lopez.
Oh, yeah, Jennifer Lopez. Anyway, Jennifer Aniston has come under fire for using the word retard during an interview. Now, it all happened this way, see? It was really funny. No, here it is. Jennifer Aniston is in hot water for using the term retard in this interview with Regis and Kathy Lee.
And with all these fun wigs, and it was, and you know, that funny girl. And so it was just like, it was just fun.
You play dress up, Barbara.
I play dress up. I do it for a living, like a retard, but, you know.
All right, now, are we angry at her because she used the word, or are we angry at her because she's Jennifer Aniston and she used the word?
Well, they're angry upon account of it's Jennifer Aniston.
Well, what I mean by that is,
I think it's because of Jennifer Aniston, too.
What I mean is this. Are we angry because, ooh, goody, we get to be angry at Jennifer Aniston and slam her because that's what we do with celebrities? Or are we really upset with the fact that she used the word retard? Or are we just kind of disappointed? Which is it?
I don't know what you mean. I mean,
you don't know what I mean. I'm saying she's a public personality. The word is one that is used commonly in the United States. We are now moving toward an area, toward a place where we don't use it anymore, just like we don't use, you know, other words. Jennifer Aniston used it. We're going to jump on her.
I'd love to jump on her, jump her bones.
Now, you ain't talking about that.
Will you just relax for a minute? We're going to jump all over her for this. And I'm just asking, are we upset on behalf of the mentally handicapped, or are we upset? Are we not even upset? We just, oh, goody, we get to, get to hammer Jennifer Aniston, if you'll pardon the expression.
That's what I'm talking about.
But just, you know, we get to be, mean to Jennifer Aniston because she used the word. However, that was that. That was on Regis and Kathy Lee. Now, the fallout, she was discussing dressing up as Barbara Streisand for the September issue of Harper's Bazaar, in which she let the word slip. Peter Burns, CEO of the ARC, which is the American, it actually stands for something, Americans who were retarded, Americans of retarded children, something like that. But then they shortened it to ARC because the title originally had that word in it. It is a nonprofit advocacy group for those with intellectual and developmental disabilities, told Us Magazine it was extraordinarily offensive and inappropriate. Frankly, someone in her position ought to know better. She's using language that is offensive to a large segment of the population of this country. We estimate that there are probably in excess of 5 million people. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I mean, you get it, okay? And I'm not trying to be disrespectful, sir, but I understand what you're saying. And I think we've been down this road. I think what we have here is the following thing. I think we expect more than we should.
No, you can't. You ought to be a public personality, man.
Well, you know, people can say what they want. They can say, well, you're a public personality and you should. I'm not giving her a pass. I'm just saying, you know, these people don't ad lib for a living, man. She's an actress. You see what I'm saying?
Well, you know, that's what I mean. If they had had Rick Seacrest on or something.
What do you mean Rick Seacrest?
I mean Ryan Seacrest on, or a guy like you or being on a radio who can talk because no one wrote it down, that's better than have her on because she can't talk unless they write it down.
Right. She's an actress. She reads lines.
All right. So you said she can't ad lib.
Obviously she can't ad lib. And there's a lot of them that don't know how to ad lib. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing that they don't know how to ad lib. Obviously, when you look at some actors, they never even want to be on interview shows. They don't want to do any of those shows because they don't want to look like a jackass. You know, how many interviews have you seen Robert De Niro do?
I don't know who he is. Or he's the actor, right?
Yeah. You don't know who he is? I mean, even at your age, man.
He's an actor.
Yeah, he's an actor. How many interviews?
I haven't seen him do. I saw him do one show about New York Fire Department on a TV.
Yeah, he was hosting a show, but I'm saying, have you seen him interviewed? Probably not. You want to know why? Because he probably is afraid he's going to misspeak. He's probably afraid of a situation like that, where his image, Robert De Niro has a very carefully constructed image, it would seem. He's the, you know, he's a serious actor. He's America's serious actor. He's America's Laurence Olivier. You know, old school, not old school, but, and he's our Laurence Olivier, and that guy is, you know, you ain't going to make this guy look like a monkey, right? Who else?
I ain't never seen Kurt Russell do none.
Kurt Russell?
Yeah, you ever seen him do an interview? Say, I did see him on a one Disney movie from outer space.
A Disney movie? I don't know about Kurt Russell. I'm just saying, people that are a lot of these actors, they don't do these interviews because they don't know how to talk. I mean, they know how to talk, but they ain't going to do any interview on TV because they're afraid they're going to get asked a question. Next thing you know, they look like a freaking chimp. Forget about it, man. They're going to chimp out.
Yeah, I understand that.
So other celebrities have been scolded for using the R word, including Howard Stern and Lindsay Lohan. Well, Howard Stern, you can understand. Howard, that's the language of life. That's the language of the street. That's Howard Stern. Lindsay Lohan, you can understand, because she was on narcotics. Now then.
I don't know if that's true, man.
I don't know either. All right, so anyway, sadly, people use the word pervasively, even if they don't realize it, said Kirsten Seckler. She's the spokeswoman for the Special Olympics. People with intellectual disabilities have fought their whole lives for understanding and recognition. When people continue to use the R word, it is hurtful. Stars may want to use the word ridiculous. Instead, she says, think before you... She's suggesting words, you know. Here's a good word for you, Miss Anderson. Ridiculous. Or think before you speak, she advises, especially when you're making fun of yourself or others. See, the other thing is, you know, for instance, like what I do for a living, we are reminded every day of what we can and can't say. Every day, can and can't say this, can and can't say that, can't, don't, know what, look out, don't say this, don't say that, right? Every day, man, and if we don't get it right, then we're in trouble. Now, some of these cats that don't do it for a living, they get on the air and they use the F word, S word, all of this, and they don't get penalized, nor does the network get penalized. And the question is, why is that? And the answer is generally, oh, well, it was inopportune. You know, it was just happened on the spur of the moment. You see?
Yeah, like they gotta get away with it on account of their, well, they're stupid.
Maybe, but they do get a pass. Well, you're kind of an idiot. You didn't know any better. So we won't find your ass, but you, Henry, you should know better. So we find you three. We're going to find you $3 million. I personally don't think that that's cool. I think it's this. You know, the old level playing field. But whatever. This is not even a finable offense. Stars may want to use the word ridiculous. She said, "Think before you speak, especially when you're making fun of yourself or others." Added Seckler, "We have a very passionate group of people advocating for change in their communities and schools to change the use of this word." Yeah, I get it. Okay, so there you go, man. So Jennifer Aniston, what a slut! Jeez,
yeah, no kidding, man.
All right, we'll be back here. I'm kidding about the slut thing. I'm just joking. I thought I'd just throw that word in.
No, so you might as well start using it. Slut, 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 slut.
Okay, great. Thank you. Wow.
Oh, you're making a good point, though.
Yeah, well, whatever. All right, coming up, do you want to quit smoking? Don't avoid thinking about cigarettes. That's the latest advice. 877-876-PHIL is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Bill Henry Show.
Okay, here's the cool jazz music we were arguing about that we're going to use for our shout-outs. Does it sound like I'm trying to be cool?
Yeah, it sounds a little. It's a little bit ostentatious.
All right, good. I'm glad it's ostentatious. Our shout-outs tonight, one from Jeffrey, a female living in Oakland, California. She thinks you two guys are dumbasses, but she loves the show anyway, or she loves you guys anyway. I don't know who's doing a shout-out, but it is from, maybe it's from her boyfriend. Soul Cruncher or some name like that, shout out. Give a small shout out to Chris Norton fan in Missouri City, Texas. Climb all over it. And that is from, I think it's Ted Bone. Is that it? Yeah, Ted Bone left that one. Here is one shout out to Derek in Denver and Teal in L.A. I miss My Girlfriend.
You just sound like Art LeBeau doing a, you know, the Huggy Boy show.
Yeah, this is the Huggy Boy show, man. All right, shout out to David from Florida. This is Chris from the city of Mobile, Alabama. A great show. Love Bud and Robert. Can you please give a shout out to Brian Gilbert? Thanks. Just did, man. Oh, what happened to our jazz? I guess we're going to have to do something else. We're going to have to get some other kind of music here, man. I know. Perfect. Oh, man. Don't hit my microphone, you jackball.
Man, I can't take it. I can't take it.
This is bad, man.
I love it.
What a wonderful...
Yes, time for our shout-outs now. Shout-out to everybody in Walnut Creek from Johnny Bean. Shout-out to Greg from Edwardsville, Illinois. Rick K. in Woodland, Maine. Love the show. Hate the mosque near Ground Zero. I only eat a Chuck E. Cheese because it's the best pizza in town. Hold on, Phil. Tokens? Yes, I've got some in the car. King in Salt Lake City. Shout out to Alan in Glendale, California. Shout out to Shane in Blythe, California. Been a fan for 7 years. Keep up the awesome work, my friend. And that was, well, it was a shout out to Shane from Odinson. Now then.
This is bad, man. This is bad, man. It's getting bad, man.
Shut up. Kent from Bama. Does Bud have a girlfriend? Thanks, Phil. Jane says hi. That's from David. Oh, I know you got David and Jane. Well, I won't say your last name, but it starts with a C. Never. Shout out to Chris and Kate. Last time you called my wife Kat. She's not a feline, but sort of. Almost Newport Beach, California. From Chris. All right, Broomfield, Colorado. Oh yeah. And that is to Matt. Please give a shout out to John, Naomi, Haddison, Curious, Orangi, and the Hedgehogs in Bellevue, Washington. We're the unofficial Iron Swine fan club. Big love. Rick from Irvine, California, teaching Margaret her baritone since 1990. Shout out to Jay Helm of The Real Jay Helm, whose name was hijacked in the attempted coup to take over the comments section on the Phil Henry Show website by the third grader. And then some other stuff. There must have been a fist fight going on there, man.
Oh, yeah, man. All kind of stuff.
All right, I know you, man. I know Jay. Thank you. Oh, and a Phil fan since 1997. Thank you. I forgot to add in my first post. That's from King in Salt Lake City. Phil, please give a shout-out to the good folks from Bob Green's Blind Haunted House. Come out, take a seat in the bleachers, and watch us bang into stuff. Watch us bang into stuff. And Robert from Tennessee, I was wondering if you could give a shout-out to all the board ops behind the scenes. Absolutely, man. All of you cats that run the show everywhere, we appreciate it very much. Okay, so we got a lot more to do, but I just got, you guys can email Jason. He said they suck if I do them too long, so I can't do any more shout-outs. Jason Rantz, my producer, please email him. All right.
Oh, man, he's going to be pissed about that.
He's the guy that said it. He said, just do a few and then just get into a news story. All right. So I got a lot more to do, but Rant said, no way, man, they blow. Okay. All right. We'll finish him up toward the end of the hour. How about that? He don't dig me doing them. He didn't dig that whole segment we did that one time.
I thought that worked pretty good because people want to hear their name and everything.
Well, maybe they do. All right, where do we want to go from here? There were a couple of stories that I thought were fascinating, if not downright dull. But see, there's been a lot of Muslim and mosque and Quran stuff. There's a Quran they want to burn in Florida. There's a Saudi judge that wants to paralyze some guy who paralyzed somebody else. There's all this black, dark, funky stuff, man. And I'd like to get the hell away from it. What I would like to talk about, and I happen to know this from personal experience, this is a story, and it's, you know, I believe that this is what I've been practicing. If you want to quit smoking, don't avoid thinking about cigarettes. Absolutely correct. If you want to quit smoking, according to this article in the Daily Mail, and maybe I'll read one or two sentences, and then I'll freelance because what I have to say about it is far better than anything the Daily Mail has got to say about it. Nothing against you guys at the Daily Mail, but just, you know, get away from me. If you're desperately trying to quit smoking, the last thing you should do is to try to suppress thoughts about cigarettes, according to a new study. British researchers, who were suspect anyway.
You know, yeah, every time they come out with something from England, man, it sounds like it's just all jacked up and everything.
No, they just got some screwy schools over there. Anyway, British researchers found that while blocking out thoughts of the habit helped reduce smokers' intake at first, it meant they puffed away more than usual when they stopped using the technique. Co-author Dr. James Erskine, University of London, said these findings have obvious implications for individuals seeking to give up certain behaviors. All right, let me tell you what it's about. As I told you before, I am not a reformed smoker. That means I don't go around telling people to quit smoking. I don't say that I'm an ex-smoker. I do not divorce myself at all from the culture of smokers, other than the fact that I am not currently smoking. Now, if you want to call it one day at a time, if you want to call it the AA technique of one day at a time, I suppose you could. Because it is far more akin to the Alcoholics Anonymous philosophy, which is you're always going to be an alcoholic. You never not call yourself an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic. You don't say that I'm not an alcoholic anymore. They don't do that, see?
Well, what do they do? I mean,
they don't drink anymore, man. But you're always going to be an alcoholic.
Yeah, it's like if you have diabetes or something, man.
Well, I'm not familiar.
You don't know what diabetes is?
Well, yeah.
Diabetes is a condition where you have to limit the amount of sugar that you eat. So you just don't eat that amount of sugar that's going to make you sick, and you have to take insulin. You're never not going to be a diabetic. You're always going to be a diabetic, I guess. I mean, yeah, you're always going to be a diabetic, so you're always going to have to regulate your diet. Now, it may not be hurting you, you may not be symptomatic, but you're always going to be that individual with that condition. The same thing with alcoholism. I don't drink, but I'm still an alcoholic, and I always will be. Well, I don't smoke right now, but I ain't an ex-smoker. I'm still a smoker. And it does two things. First of all, it takes off of your head the sweat. If I say that I don't smoke anymore, that means I got to, oh, God, mother, for the rest of my life, I don't smoke. I'm thinking about, like, day after day, year after year, you know.
Well, I mean, in your case, though, it might not just maybe a couple of years.
Oh, well, thank you very much for that, Robert.
God, man.
Well, no, I don't mean that. But, I mean, you're not as young as you used to be.
Boy, why don't you just say he's going to croak next week?
I didn't mean that.
No, that you didn't mean that. No, you didn't.
No, what I'm saying is that from now to the end of your life is not as long. Oh, never mind.
Yeah, never mind. The point that I'm making here is you never call yourself an ex-smoker. You say you're a smoker, you're just not smoking right now, okay? Don't avoid the company of smokers. Don't ever lecture smokers about the evils of smoking. Don't become that kind of person. Those people are rude bastards. Period. If someone smokes around you, take a deep breath. Inhale.
Really?
No, I'm kidding. I don't know whether you should do that or not. All right, coming up, Bud's Nightly News. Still to come, and a deaf shoplifter may sue because he got beat up. Well, why not? Just because you're... anyway, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
And now it's Bud Dickman's Nightly News from our studios at El Pacifico on the western coast of the United States. Here then, Bud Dickman.
Roger Clemens, he plays baseball. They're going to put him in jail. He lied. Roger Clemens, he plays baseball. They're going to put him in jail. He lied. If you want to quit smoking, then you should smoke, you should think about smoking and then smoke. The A clue, okay, they covered up, they tortured a man, the A clue.
The ACLU.
What?
ACLU.
ACLU tortured a guy and covered it up. Caterpillar, okay, they make trucks and they double dipped. Okay, another one. California, they are not selling houses now, and no one, they're not going to buy no houses in California. You should tell people about that.
More Bud Dickman news and commentary.
BP, okay, BP, okay, BP, you know, okay, they had oil that leaked out. They're not going to tell nobody more about a leak. They had oil a leak, now they're not going to say anything about a leak. Okay, Jennifer Aniston, she said retard. They're probably never, they'll never have her on a TV or anything anymore on account of the retard that she said. She's not a retard, but she said that they are.
More Bud Dickman news commentary.
American Idol, there's a man, his name's Steven Tyler on American Idol. Yeah, that's the one. There's a Muslim at Disneyland, and she wanted to wear a head wrap, and they told her she could wrap her head, but she didn't wrap her head right with the right head wrap.
More Bud Dickman news and commentary.
Bud Dickman commentary. You're gonna wrap your head up, okay? But what if they don't have nobody else wrapping there? There's no head wrap.
And now the news continues with Bud Dickman.
Okay, there's a man that lived in a library for 2 weeks, then they kicked him out. He was homeless, which I guess he was, but they kicked him out of the library. He was there for 2 weeks. They're not supposed to say Ground Zero Mosque no more. They told them not to. I can say it, you can say it, but they also said some other people can't say it. And I don't know, that doesn't matter.
And now, Bud Dickman commentary.
I don't understand. Dead people don't have a mosque there. I never heard about a mosque or anything. I know about churches, and I don't understand it. And also, now, you got to wrap your head up at Disneyland? I don't want to do it.
You done?
Yeah.
Well, then say goodbye or goodnight or something. You just go, I don't want to do it anymore.
I don't want to.
Oh, what is he gonna cry now?
What's the matter? I wanna go to bed.
Take him to bed, will you?
Come on.
All right, that's Bud Dickman's, God, what a baby.
I didn't say I wanna go to bed, I just said I'm tired.
Well, when you lock out of a news segment, how many times I gotta tell you this? You go, well, thank you, I'm Bud Dickman.
All right, well, I can do that. You never told me about it.
The hell I didn't tell you about it. Every time I tell you about it, you forget to do it. Last time we did this,
what did I do?
Last time we did it, I'm hungry. You stopped in the middle of a news story and said you wanted a Raisin Bran.
You did, man. Yeah, because I got hungry. What am I supposed to do?
You don't say I'm hungry, I want Raisin Bran. Say thank you and good night, I'm Bud Dickman, okay?
All right, here, let me do it.
Don't give me that. Don't you do it. I'll do it. Go to that microphone there.
Which one?
That one right there. This one?
Will you turn it down? You blew my ears out, you idiot. God!
Oh, man, you did it now. You're going to be deaf.
I didn't know that.
Oh, man, back it off.
Sorry.
Oh, man, I'm going to be bleeding from the nose. All right, shut up. Hold on. When you hear the music, then say goodnight.
Good night.
What?
Good night.
I can't hear you.
Good night.
Get him out of here, will you?
I said good night.
Yeah, I know. All right, so that's the Bud Dickman, whatever the hell that was. Wow. All right, 877-876-PHIL here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And I thought at this particular point we could, you know, what we're going to do is close the show with a few of those shout-outs. So, while we're on the subject, though, we could just kind of squeeze in a few more. Sure, why not? All right, so in Broomfield, Colorado, oh, yeah, I think we were just talking about Matt. Please give a shout-out to John, Naomi, Hottis. Oh, we already talked to you guys, the unofficial Iron Swine fan club. Rick from Irvine, California. Will you turn that damn news sounder off, okay?
And I cross to
one.
Shout out to Jay Helmo. We got Jay Helmo. Oh, and a Phil fan since 1997. Robert from Tennessee. I was wondering if you could give a shout out to all the board ops. We did that, didn't we? Yes. Hey, Phil, I'm Kelly from Fargo, the guy chugging the jug of yucca that you posted on the feed a couple of times. Would love it if you'd give us a shout-out, and a shout-out to Brandon and Justin in Burnsville, Minnesota. You got it, man. Yeah, this guy, those cats were, I think, one of the first people I ever got a picture of people doing yucca. That cat, you look like you were drinking like the, you look like you were drinking a tub of water, man. You hadn't had any in months. All right, wish me a good 30th birthday, Chris from St. Louis. Happy birthday, Chris. Shout out to Barnabas Collins. I'm partaking of the essence as I write this. That's Billy the Impaler. I'm Matt from Portland, Oregon, who's been an obsessed fan since 2000. If you shout out as Herb Sewell, I'll pee myself. All right, Matt. And Matt, very, very, very good evening to you, Matt. Ronnie from Schoenfield, Dallas, Texas, or Ronnie Schoenfield from Dallas, Texas. There's no such thing as Schoenfield, Dallas, Texas, is there?
No. No, I mean, not now. I mean, maybe after this show.
Give Anthony his shout-out in Naples, or you can go straight down to the hot spot and cook. You got it, man. And then Simon O., Cal State Fullerton student majoring in communications with an emphasis in public relations, an intern at the Orange County Transportation Authority, fan and listener since 2002. Beauty, man. Thank you very much. All right, so that's just a few of those to the Kittles, man. So Roger Clemens is on his way, speaking of being on your way to the hotspot. No, Roger Clemens... as you know, had testified in front of the United States Congress, I believe it was a House committee, about the use of steroids, and any of us that witnessed that realized that he was full of crap, especially when we listened to the testimony of the trainer, and we heard some of the other testimony, and then he got up, Roger Clemens did, and he walked away. Well, it looks like in the latest news that Roger Clemens... is going to have to answer a few tougher questions because he's been indicted on charges that he has lied to Congress about doping. Clemens faces the very real possibility now of prison time. If convicted, sentencing guidelines suggest somewhere between 15 and 21 months, according to the New York Times. He faces six counts related to his 2008 testimony, one fewer than the number of his Cy Young rings, including obstruction of justice, making false statements, and perjury. Americans have a right to expect that witnesses who testify under oath before Congress will tell the truth to the U.S. attorney. Our government cannot function if witnesses are not held accountable for false statements made before Congress. Today, the message is clear. If a witness makes a choice to ignore his or her obligation to testify honestly, there'll be consequences. That's coming from the U.S. attorney. We don't know what Clemens' attorney has said, but I remember hearing those tapes. I remember hearing the tape between the phone conversation between Clemens and the trainer. The guy's crying. Clemens is saying, I didn't do this, Mac. You got to help me out, Mac. The guy is saying just about everything you could possibly say without coming out and saying, would you please lie for me? Now, this was a recording, man, that was made in my, if I'm remembering this correctly, it was made by Clemens.
Yeah, that was the thing that blew my mind, too.
Clemens made the tape recording. Clemens made this tape recording, and Clemens played this thing for the Congress, and it was the most, it was embarrassing. I couldn't figure this one out, man, for love or money. What the hell is this guy playing this tape for? It makes him sound as if he's coaching this guy. It makes him sound as if he's coaching this guy to say all the right words. The guy's in tears, his trainer, this guy who, Roger Clemens was his hero. Yeah, Brian McNanny, I think was his name. And we've got the audio. I got to play it on the other side of this break. I want to go to the break early and play the audio. And then, just to show you how serious I am about the story, go back into the shout-outs. So,
yeah.
Oh, you're back?
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I thought you wanted to go to bed.
No, I just said I was tired.
All right, we'll be back with the tape. You'll hear this thing, and then we'll have a few more shout-outs if we have time. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
I think it bears hearing the tape because we can say, well, Roger Clemens has been indicted for lying to Congress. But this was a tape recording that Roger Clemens brought into the congressional hearing and played it and said, see, here is a phone conversation with this guy, this McNanny or whoever, however you pronounce his name. Forgive me. I apologize. If he was giving me steroids, I didn't know anything about it. Well, that is a lie. And I'll tell you why I think it's a lie, because when I listen to this tape, this sounds to me like a guy, he's trying to coach this Brian McNanny into saying what he wants him to say. If he's telling the truth, Roger Clemens, then he would say to him, tell him the truth. Tell him I never took steroids. Tell him that you did it to me. I never used this stuff knowingly. Listen, here is Roger Clemens. He brought this tape with him, and I don't think it helps him at all.
I just need, you know, like I said, I'm telling the truth, and I want it out there. And
tell me what you want me to do. I told you in the email.
Yeah,
whatever
I understand
you want.
That.
What do you want me
that.
To do? I'll go to jail. I'll do whatever you want.
You need somebody to tell the truth, Mac.
What do you want me to
do? Roger, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do?
I got it. I'm doing a press conference and on Monday. And
you want me to go? You want me to show up?
I'm gonna just tell the truth, flat out tell the truth. And but it never seems to get behind me. I mean, I had to deal with the LA Times story, and all I got was an apology when they found out that wasn't true. Like I said, I asked you about the.
That was the greatest thing in the world.
I need somebody to come tell the truth, and I got this press conference on Monday that I got to deal with next. I'm just, like I said, Mac, I'm just, for the life of me, I'm trying to find out why you would tell guys that I use steroids from.
I understand that.
Meaning, I get it now. Why would you tell people? He didn't say, I didn't use steroids, why'd you ask him? He didn't say, or why'd you tell him? He didn't say, how could you tell people I use steroids when I don't use steroids? He just said, why would you let people know that? I know. So that's why the guy's been indicted for lying. Because they heard the tape, the guys in the congressional hearing, they heard it, and they went, well, this is horse crap. So they spent a couple of years, it's got to be 2 years now since this thing. What was it, last year? Yeah, it was probably 2 years ago when this first thing came down, and they've decided to look into it, and they've indicted him. That doesn't mean that there's proof, but if I were, you know, if it's the court of public opinion and I'm the judge,
yeah,
I think he's guilty. Okay,
I'm gonna move on.
All right, so let's move on. Now, January 2008 was the testimony. January of 2008, so over 2 years ago. All right, getting back now to our shout-outs here on the Phil Henry Show. Shout-out to all the Phil Henry Show staff and crew and Maria, who contribute to making yours the best on the radio. Thank you very, very much. That's from from Savvy. Thank you. Shout-out to Chris O. in Ventura. After 20 years, I still don't get it, and I hope I never do. Thank God for Jay Santos and the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Please send a shout-out to, I can't read this, man. I don't know what the hell that says. But anyway, thank you. My 29th birthday is Monday, and since I share a birthday with your show's anniversary, I'm buying myself a ticket to and from wherever you do the one-man show. We're going to have an announcement on that, man. Very, very soon. That is from Furish Feathers from Utah. All right, so there's some shout-outs tonight. We're going to have to find a way to do that so Jason likes it.
Yeah, otherwise, man, you're going to have to deal with him.
You have to deal with him crying about it and anything else about it like that.
Yeah, don't worry about him crying about it, man. You're crying about everything.
All I said was I'm tired.
You don't say it in the middle of the bit. Deaf shopper choked, tackled, at Forever 21, ready to sue. What are you laughing at?
Choked.
Choked with the... choked by the throat. What a child.
Yeah, choked.
Got it, man. A deaf shopper and his brother, who was tackled and choked by a security guard outside a Forever 21 store in Hollywood, California, says he's ready to file a lawsuit claiming discrimination. The deaf shopper was caught shoplifting.
How's he doing that, though?
Yeah.
How's he doing what?
Well, how's he going to say that he's going to sue?
Yeah, because it'll just probably sound like, is that what it, get out of here, ow.
Dude, you ain't funny, okay?
I'm not trying to be funny.
I guess he'll do it through someone who can sign language and then talk, okay? God.
You got slobber all over your...
Thank you. The incident, which was caught on video by a...
Well, you did.
The incident, which was caught on video by a cell phone camera and posted on YouTube, naturally, has been seen around the world. Many viewers expressed outrage by the way the situation was handled. I saw it, and I was outraged that a deaf man would rip off a store when there's all that free stuff for deaf guys.
Yeah, so that's my philosophy, too, man.
You figure if someone has a disability, you can just go get free stuff, can't you? I'm kidding. I'm being... Anyway, Pablo Reyes says he and his brother Alejandro are very angry about the way they were treated and will sue Forever 21 if they can't reach a settlement. Were you guys ripping the store off or not? You got nothing to sue about. The brothers have been deaf since birth. It doesn't make any difference you've been deaf since birth.
Maybe they couldn't hear the guy say, hey, you got to pay for that.
Yeah.
Well.
Oh, come on, man. If you're going to go into a store, don't you think you got to pay for it?
Yeah, but if they're deaf, they may not know that.
Why wouldn't they know that? They're not blind. They're deaf.
Yeah, but okay. But if they see something and it doesn't have a price on it.
Where do you see stuff in a store that doesn't have a price on it?
A lot of times, like on a display case or something.
Wait a minute, man. Are you guys honestly getting me? You want me to consider the following. These guys went into a store, and they weren't sure whether you had to pay for stuff or not?
No, I'm just saying, suppose they took something, okay? And they forgot that they didn't pay for it. We're walking out, a guy goes, hey, you got to pay for that. Well, they can't hear it.
You know what, bud? You and people like you come up with all kinds of excuses for just a flat, straight case of theft. What? Did they get tackled? Or they got choked or whatever the hell? Don't be ripping the store off. I think that we always get off the point, man. We're always off the point. Yeah, sure. You got to be careful when you apprehend or arrest people, all right? But the point is, these cats were ripping the store off. And they were trying to get away with it. And I bet you they think they're going to get sympathy on account of they can't hear.
You think so?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just kidding. All right, so...
Well, I think that's a valid point. Hey, man, I think I'll go in and rip this store off or rip it off blind, man. I'll rip everything off. I'll even try, like, rob a bank, and then when a man catch me, I say, I'm deaf. You know, and I don't know any better. I'm a deaf man. I got to have money. I got to steal on account I'm deaf. You know, something like that.
Yeah, well, maybe you can pull it. That sounded pretty good.
Yeah, it sounded convincing.
Why don't you go out there and do it, Robert?
I will.
No, don't. Because then I'm going to have to testify that you said it to me, and then they'll stick you away forever. Forever 21 says the pair was stopped for shoplifting and that they tried to leave the scene. LAPD officials said merchandise from the store was found in Rea's bag. Rea was arrested and charged with robbery and shoplifting. Authorities say he also had a prior record of petty theft. The brother's attorney says Alejandro suffered a swollen knee and injuries to his neck and left and leg, along with bruises all over his body. Pablo was seen in the video trying to get the guard's attention. What I saw was an attack, and I didn't like it, Pablo told reporters through an interpreter during a news conference. There, he had an interpreter.
Oh, so he wasn't going,
No, he didn't. I tried to get his attention to tell him my brother was deaf, but he completely ignored me, Reyes said. I completely disagree with the way they handled it. It looks like discrimination to me. No, it looks like you discriminated against the store, man. You took stuff that you didn't pay for. That's discrimination. World famous Phil Hendry Show, produced by Jason Rantz, technical direction, of course, is Don Naylor, and our screener is Dan Northcraft. Later, greater.
Phil Hendry.